ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot. You're muted. And Mr. Sunny Hollywood Pooty.
Somebody asked me what my pronoun was earlier. I told him asshole. Joey, is that a pronoun?
Either way, I agree with you. So that, I don't care if it's a pronoun or not.
And Mr. Joey Quesada.
Woo! What's up, everybody?
Joey, listen, before we get started, I want you to tell everybody what's going on. Is it online tonight?
Yes, thanks, Joe. So we have, everyone knows me from ZO2. My bandmate, David Z, passed away a couple of years ago. We do a live stream fundraiser every year. It's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Crazy all-star lineup, debuting all sorts of new, brand new videos from everyone. The Kiss world will be interested in. Bruce Kulick's band is doing a video cover of the Bryan Adams song Heaven, but they have Eric Singer on lead vocals. So it's a video of them, you know, I think making it in the studio. It should be a lot of fun, but the lineup is insane. Everyone from, you know, Billy Sheen all the way down the line through, you know, Kip Winger. I'll be doing a couple appearances. I did a song with Richard Fortus and Mark Mendoza from Twisted Sister. Richard is from Guns N' Roses. We did a Cactus song. It's a great time. Take a watch. If you have any couple bucks in your pocket to donate, we'd appreciate it. It all goes for music education in David's name.
That's awesome. Let's see. There is some news, a little bit of news. Now, we haven't been here in a couple weeks because summer is busy. Joey, finally, see what I did there? Finally can get out and start playing some music. Jody can finally start doing his job, DJing. Sonny never stopped working. He's too damn important.
Right.
Putting out fires and all that shit.
Yeah, all kinds of shit. Yeah,
it's really crazy. Anyway, so let's go. I have a couple of news things. Let's get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Yeah, this is a really interesting couple stories. One of them was, and I'm just going to read the headline because going into the story gets all kind of technical, but I would just want to see who agrees with me. It says, Kiss consultant predicts brand will be sold to conglomerates.
It works. When did this come out, Joe?
Just a few days ago.
Yeah, two or three days ago. It works. Marvel did it with Disney, right? Marvel sold to Disney, and Marvel's bigger than ever. Would they be as big without Disney? Who knows?
So I think it would absolutely be an incredible idea. Right what Sonny said, I'm a big comic book fan. I remember when Marvel went to Disney, I was like, oh, this. And same thing with Star Wars. When Disney scooped them both up, I thought it was going to go one way or another, and it really took off the way I was hoping, and both of those brands are way better for it. I think if Kiss was sold to a Disney-type company, I hope it even would be Disney. It would be great. I think it would be incredible, and the fans would get so much more material than we're getting now.
Jody?
I hope it's not Disney, dude. I think they totally ruined Star Wars, but it's like that old KST episode, you know? Kiss goes to Disney. I think that it probably would be Disney, though. I mean, who else has the money and would be interested?
Here's the question. Sonny, you're big on business, and Joey, you're, you know, in the entertainment, you know, right in the thick of it. If somebody went to Kiss and said, we want to buy your brand, what's the value to – look, obviously, that when you're buying a brand, the value isn't – it's higher than I would think, isn't it?
Or take points, right? Take a percentage. Right. So you take a flat fee up front and then percentage of what you think it can be, because then you don't have to worry about I'm selling something for 500 million and it was worth 3 billion.
Right. So if Disney wanted to buy Kiss, what do you think Kiss's price is?
How much?
A billion, you think?
No way.
I don't even think you're at least 90% away from what it would really be. I think you're talking again, I think Gene and Paul would probably keep a percentage if they were smart. I think they're smart enough businessmen to want to hold on to some kind of piece of it, some kind of little creative control in there while they're still around. But I think it's a micro fraction of what you just said. I think it's in the tens of millions, maybe.
Well, let me ask you this. I remember a few years ago, I was watching a show and Gene said to somebody that Kiss was valued at $1 billion.
The Yankees are valued at that. Kiss has not even close.
So you don't think so?
No.
No.
Sonny, what do you think?
No way. 100 million tops.
Agreed.
And what you would do is we'll take 100 million. We want 5% of everything you guys make, and we want creative control until both of us die, and then the family continues to get 5%. Go, we can, you know, bequeath it to somebody. We're done.
I think if someone gave them that exact deal tomorrow, they would scoop it up and run with their money.
Jody,
they would be right to.
I think these guys are pretty much on the money, but what I want to know is, I mean, what could Disney really do? Just like make animated movies or something? I mean, you're not going to replace the band, right?
No. It's long-term success. Cinderella will be there for generations upon generations upon generations to come. Spider-Man will be there for 200 years. Kiss would be the same.
Yeah, but what do you do with it? I mean, they're not going to be able to write the songs. You know what I mean?
Yes, they could. They could still they could totally release new Kiss music. Why couldn't they?
Think
of it this way. The way I look at it is before Disney bought Marvel and Star Wars, it was very predominantly a female brand. It was very princessy, and all the Disney cartoons were way geared more towards female. And then they became Marvel and Star Wars. All the male, the kids, the demographic ran over to them. Musically, I think they're still in that pop, you know, more female type brand. If they get a rock band on board, they could totally release new Kiss music. Why not?
I mean, I don't know. Would the fans buy it, dude? You know what I mean? Like, Kiss to me is songs written by Gene and Paul, our Ace, you know, and our Stan Penridge.
But to us. I agree.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are they going to have like those Disney kind of songs that say it's Kiss? And who's going to sing them? And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It opens a whole can of worms.
I think it becomes less about the music and more about the brand once you sell to a Disney. This now it's 95% about shirts and tumblers and all the shit that's room is full of versus music.
Right.
But I think Die Hard, sorry, Joe, I think Die Hard Star Wars fans thought the same thing. Whether you think they ruined it or not, you know, I'm a diehard Star Wars fan. And I said, well, what are they going to do? They're not going to make new movies. They're just going to, you know, print Star Wars t-shirts and new action figures and so on and so forth. But they didn't. They went out and made, whether they're good or bad, they're successful. And that's all they care about. And they're building the brand bigger than ever. They've released more stuff in these last 10 years than Star Wars ever released in the history before that.
Right. So online here, when I type in what is the value of Kiss, the band, right? And it says 300 million. So that's a lot of money, actually.
Yeah, they're not getting that. There's no way they're getting that. Prince's whole estate was worth 300 million. That's not happening. There's no way. The other interesting thing I just thought of is it took till Disney to see Black Widow. Now, maybe it's because the world is woke and, you know, Black Panther showed up, so Black Widow's got to show up, blah, 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 whatever. Are we going to see the Rockheads?
Right. Good point.
Right?
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, that'd be sweet.
It's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, I mean, again, if something like Disney scooped Kiss up, yeah, that's a thing Loretta could run to it with. I would help her try to get over there. I mean, there's so many things you can do with the Kiss brand, I think, to market it. Maybe not to our generation, but the next generation that they're going to grow up with Kiss Disney, and it's going to be, it would be, I think it would be, that would be great. I would rather see that than what's going to happen maybe without it.
Well, don't you think that that Disney could take like an Image comic type of deal, not necessarily Image, but that whole idea, and make their own, evolve them into Marvel? Whether we like it or not, they are part of the Marvel universe in a teeny, teeny way, but they are. I mean, they've crossed them over. By the way, I want to make sure Joey knows the 2021 Major League Baseball franchise valuation baseball team. Yankees are worth $6.76 billion.
Again, the Yankees are the most, the lowest team. Right.
I was like, dang, I'll buy the Yankees. And disband them.
Crazy.
See, the hard part about it is like Scooby-Doo is, I think, owned by either Warner or Turner. It's like a merge thing. But the problem is that anything that has to, anybody who has a communication company connected to it that's going to compete with Universal is going to have a tough time getting Kiss, because somehow they got to get access to the music too. And Universal will charge Warner a arm and a leg and possibly a kidney to get any of the music. So it would be tough.
Yeah, I think there's so many brilliant minds over at Disney. Trust me, they would build content that we're not even thinking about. Stuff on the Disney Plus, maybe a TV series, live action. Who knows what it could be? It could be, trust me, they would build the brand much bigger than what it is now. Whether we agree with what they do, who knows? But they would really, I think if they purchased it, they would go all out to make sure their purchase was worth their while. And that means a lot of content.
Yeah, I mean, I would be really excited to see something like that. I hope it happens in our lifetime. I really do. Okay, one other thing. I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but Peter Criss is playing on a record. Did you guys hear this?
John 5?
He's playing on John 5's new record on the song Georgia on My Mind, which, even though I live in Georgia, I couldn't sing. Georgia.
Why isn't he singing it? Like, why haven't played drums on Georgia? You know, just have him sing it.
Or do both.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So who's singing it then?
Nobody. John 5's all instrumental.
Oh.
So, I mean, how in the world, I mean, it's not like I can't wait to hear it, because it's a very, please forgive me, laid back song. It's very, you know what I'm saying? It's not like a rock song.
I think Peter will kill that song. And listen, obviously.
In a good way or a bad way?
No, in a very good way. I think. Okay. And I think John 5, if he's producing it, or whoever's going to produce it, is not going to put something out subpar. I think Peter's going to come in, lay a great track down, and it's going to be a song that Peter plays on. It's going to be, listen, to me, I always think of it same way we just talked about Disney. I'd rather have content for me to judge, good or bad, rather than no content. So Peter playing drums on us on any album, I'm in.
I'll tell you, if Peter Criss figures out a way to screw up Georgia on My Mind with John 5 playing guitar, dude, just throw your sticks out the nearest window and never look at the drums again.
That's messed up and awesome at the same time.
They can just quantize him, dude. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Another piece of news, Joe. It's I believe, if I have the dates correct, it's Eric Carr's 71st birthday tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Cool. Wow. 71.
Yeah. I can't even. It's so weird. He's always still looks like a little boy. And you know, maybe it's a godsend that he did pass. That he preserved his boyhood charm. I could never picture Eric as a 71-year-old.
Yeah.
Me neither. Maybe with that bald patch going right down the center, but he still had the.
Still, oh, that would be epic.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
No, you know how that guy would be. He'd age like Clooney and like Steve Perry. Some of these guys aged like amazingly.
Look at this.
He'd be one of those guys. Yeah, not that one. Yeah, not that.
Look, I'm not joking. This is so terrible. But I never look at myself in the mirror. I'm sure some of you guys, I don't. I can't handle it because I'm getting old. But I took Karen out to dinner. We're standing waiting to go in, and the glass for the restaurant is got black on the back. So I looked up and I saw myself. I literally thought I was looking at my father. I was like, oh goodness, that's an old guy.
No, that's a good thing. If you see your dad in your reflection, that's a good thing.
No, I get it. All right, so here we go. We got some stuff to talk about. You guys have heard my opinion because I did a show right after the documentary. But these three guys, they've all watched the show now, and they've got something to tell you about the Kiss A&E documentary. So let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
Yes!
So, a couple weeks ago now, we had the Kiss A&E documentary that everybody was waiting on. And when I was watching it, I was looking at Facebook, and there were tons of people commenting over and over and over and over. Everybody was watching it at the same time. I'm wondering, I would love to be able to find a place where I could see the ratings, because even people that I know that aren't Kiss fans are like, oh, I watched that documentary 2 days long, you know, about Kiss. I thought it was really interesting. And then, of course, they wanted to ask me what I thought. And I was like, what documentary?
Yeah. I do the same thing. And I'm sure it happens to three of you, like friends you rarely hear from will start texting and say, hey, did you see there's a Kiss documentary? I'm like, really? Like, right. You think I missed? Do you know what I do every day?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll tell you this, and I'm sure you guys have I don't know if you've gone through this kind of a drastic thing, but Karen can back me up. We'll be somewhere walking around, and of course I'm wearing a Kiss shirt. Somebody's like, oh man, Kiss, I love Kiss. And I say something like, I don't really like Kiss. My girlfriend loves Kiss, and she makes me wear these shirts.
Yeah, and they're like, lost a bet. And
I've done that just so I didn't have to talk about Kiss at that moment, because I wanted to go, I just talked about Kiss for 6 hours. No more. Anyway. Okay, so you guys all watched it. This is I'm gonna ask each one of you guys different questions, okay? So let's start with all three of you. We're gonna start with Sonny. Give it a grade A through F.
A.
Jody.
Let's say like A minus. I don't know. It's pretty good. I like it.
Joey?
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, but I'm going to go a little lower. I'll go a B minus.
A B minus, almost a C. Or almost a C plus. Let's see. Okay, well, that's pretty interesting.
What do you give it, Joe?
I gave it an A. I enjoyed it very much so. Here's the question that I wanted to, and this is a zinger right off the bat. Boom. You ready?
Yeah.
Did they give Eric Carr enough time?
No.
No.
It's so weird. Obviously, I think I'm the biggest Eric fan here. And I think they did. I my expectations were much lower going in to cover any of those years. Never mind Vinny and Eric and Mark and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, as much as I would like a whole doc on Eric, which we're going to be getting on his birthday, on his anniversary of his death in November, I think. I think they covered him well. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more maybe, but I think they did him justice.
Okay. And Jody, why do you say no?
I mean, I found it interesting. Okay, the first hour and a half, they cover like 73 to 79, so like, you know, 6 years. And then you have all the rest of the whole history in the second half. It's just, you know, they just didn't have enough time, dude. I mean, they covered Eric, which was cool, but I mean, I wanted more. I just wanted more, you know, wanted stuff. It's like everything I that was on there I'd already seen, you know. There wasn't anything new or really at all.
For me, I saw quite a bit of stuff that I didn't know what it was. And Scambetti is on here, so he's gonna yell at me. But
Jesus, is he on here?
Yes.
We can't ban him.
He already said he hates you like 3 times on here. But there was a little video of Peter, no makeup, grabbing a microphone to sing, and I didn't know if that was new or old. I never saw it before, and that was pretty interesting. And there were quite a few pictures that I never saw before. Sonny, you're nodding your head. Did you see things that you never saw before?
Yeah, but you know, I'm not like you guys. I haven't seen it all, right? So there's always, I see more things I haven't seen before that you guys have already seen. On the Eric Carr thing, here's the problem with a documentary like this, especially with A&E. A&E does some unbelievable documentaries. There's absolutely no doubt. I don't think there's one I haven't enjoyed yet. But if they're going to do a two-parter, they have to leave a cliffhanger. So there's only two places in history where you can leave a cliffhanger. Either it's got to be the cracks are starting to show or the makeup's about to come off. And I wish they would have chose the makeup's about to come off. Like the first hour and a half is inception to basically the day before the makeup comes off.
Yeah.
And then that way you can give Eric more time if you want to. Right. And maybe you don't have to skip over the 80s. They didn't skip over the 80s, but I mean, it was a fast trip. Just like Jody said, like you come back, you got to talk from 1980 to 2021. Like it's a lot of years, right? But that's the only two places, or I guess the third place you could have done it is the first hour and a half is before the Grammys.
Right.
Right in 95 or 96, whenever that was.
Right.
So that's really, because they have to leave a cliffhanger. That's the way they do the documentaries. That's how every one of them's done. They try to do it before every commercial break. There was a lot of commercial breaks. Luckily, I have an A&E, so I recorded it and passed through all that shit, so I didn't have to worry about it.
I did too. But, yeah. I just downloaded it. No commercials to be seen. Yeah. I can't even imagine with commercials that had to suck so bad.
Yeah, there really were a lot of commercials. I was fast-forwarding content.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The first night I watched that crazy lady smash that iPad like 800 times. Now everybody's cable is different, so I don't know. But
yeah.
All right, now here's a question. Do you feel like they gave Vinnie Vincent too much time?
No.
Again, I think, if I have my biggest gripe with the whole documentary, and of course I'm sure you'll get to this, but it pertains to Vinnie and Eric, really, is Paul constantly saying how the new makeup, the new characters didn't work, and he really in so many words implied that was the downfall of the original Kiss right at that time, and that's eventually what caused them to take the makeup off, that the fans didn't accept the new characters. I mean, everyone listening to the show, I can't imagine you guys disagree with this statement. You know there's no way that that's true. Kiss was on the downfall and forgotten about way before they introduced new characters. So The new characters just so happened to be in a time where Kiss was, you know, terrible. Nobody cared about Kiss. So for Paul and Gene, especially Paul, I feel like to blame the new characters on the downfall of that era of Kiss, it drives me insane.
Yeah, that conversation should really be, we were struggling. We tried saving it with new characters, and that didn't work. That's how he should have said that.
Right. And really even just saying, you know, and because he implies that if we would have maybe done the Catman and the Spaceman, then it would have worked. Garbage. He should say, no matter what we were doing at that point, the makeup was dead. We were dead. We had to shake things up. It had nothing to do, and give props to Vinny and Eric for a few seconds and say, these guys, you know, in a different time, if maybe after the reunion, whatever it was, if we would introduce them, maybe they could have been their own success stories. But because of when they came out, it was doomed to fail.
You guys out there that are watching right now live on YouTube and Facebook, go ahead and put your grade for the documentary. Brad Rustoven already gave it a C+ because Brad's crazy. But you guys...
He's about right.
You guys, he knows I'm kidding. So you guys put your grade. I'd love to see them and check it out. All right, so here's another question. Do you feel that they were fair to Ace and Peter? Yes or no? Sonny.
Yeah, I think they were fair to Ace and Peter. I think there was, whether it's they had a self filter on about, hey, we're not going to completely sell them down the river, that we're going to say what it is, but we're not going to talk too much about it, or whether that's lost in the edit because A&E's like, look, this is not the Bash Peter Ace show. There's a couple of pieces where I didn't like what, like, especially Paul had to say, but all in all, I think Ace and Peter were represented fine. And I actually really liked that they used old interview clips. So Ace and Peter were involved. Now that spins the story the way they want it spin. Maybe I don't like that so much, but it's either that or nothing. And I'd rather have that than nothing.
Jody?
I thought that they really gave Ace his props. You know, they really were kind of talking really well about Ace. Maybe not so much Peter, but I think that the love for Ace really came through. You know, from those guys, it felt like to me like he was getting his props, and I thought it was super cool because he deserves it. You know, yeah. I mean, Ace was the man. You know,
yeah, absolutely, Joey.
Yeah, I think I agree with Jody. I think they gave Ace a lot of props. I don't think they talked necessarily as bad as I thought they were going to about Ace and Peter. I loved when Gene kind of took some blame for his addictions and his downfalls along the same time as Ace and Peter had, you know, the drug and alcohol addictions and all that stuff. I really enjoyed that part. I really would have loved more than anything that they showed in the documentary. I loved Gene and Paul sitting on that couch talking. I thought it was the most heartfelt thing I've seen Kiss do in a long, long time. And if we would have had Ace and Peter on that couch with them, and listen, edit it the way you want to edit and take it out, take out what you want to take out. But them four sitting in a room talking and reminiscing would have been, I think, the ultimate for all of us.
Okay, totally. So all right, so that I was gonna save this question for later, but since you brought that up, Joey, here's the question: did Peter and Ace blow it by not going on this documentary? When I say blow it, I mean, like, did they miss out on an opportunity to really have the opportunity to give their side of the story?
Asking me?
Any of you. Yeah. Sonny, what do you think?
Go ahead.
Big time. There's not going to be a lot of people that agree with me on this, but Ace and Peter should have did it for fans, if nothing else. Like, at some point, the money shit's got to end, right? And here's a perfect opportunity. Oh, my God, those four guys on the couch talking to each other, making fun of each other, possibly take a few stabs at each other. That's like being in the Monsters of Rock cabin and the four of us are talking. I wish there was a microphone going because there's just stupidity and laughter between the four friends that are in the room. And we don't agree about anything, but it doesn't matter. And at some point, it has to be something other than the money. Like, come on.
Yeah, that would have been super cool. Yeah, I mean, if that would have happened, it would be like an A++++, you know what I mean? Because the Paul and Gene shit, that was my favorite part about the whole thing. Like, you know, even seeing Paul's feet, it's kind of weird and cool. I never saw his feet before. But yeah, like,
weird.
The way they were saying little things, yeah. Like, Paul had said something, he had his pinky, like, oh, really?
I think he had his pinky toe reconstructed onto his foot, like his ear.
I was going to say, yeah.
Have mercy. Just so you know,
the foot.
I'm not going to lie, I've seen Paul Stanley's feet before. But you guys have seen him too. So, because he gets out of the pool in that.
Exposed.
I'm pretty sure you see his feet. Anyway,
I wasn't looking at Paul's feet during those scenes. I don't know what the hell you were looking at, Joe.
Well, they can't.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Joe's going to think his feet.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, if anyone is managing Ace and Peter, they blew a big opportunity. again, I look at things differently than just money. I'm sure they were going to get paid a nice amount for it, whether it was what they were asking, who cares? You're going to be in front of, and again, I don't know what the numbers were, but minimum, I'm thinking 5 million people. How many people watched the doc? Got to be upwards of that number, I would assume. More than that after, you know, a couple of weeks of being on and reruns and all this stuff. You have the opportunity to be in front of millions of people live on a big, big network like A&E. Not live, but you know what I mean. You got to jump at that opportunity. Guys like Ace and Peter are not getting those opportunities anymore. You never know what's going to stem from something like that. Ace and Peter are in front of A&E. They love them so much. Maybe they give them their own documentary. You gotta take steps. You gotta do things to get other things. And I think they blew an opportunity to just further their own careers right now.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It was cool that they put those clips in of them telling their side of the story.
Yeah.
But it still would have been better. I mean, that if here's the thing, if 20 or 50 years from now somebody says we're going to do a documentary about Podcast Rock City, whether I'm getting paid or not, I'm going to be there to make sure that I get my side of the story in there, which is really what they should have been thinking about. You know, it shouldn't have been, I need a lot of money if I'm going to sit there. And you know what? How about this? They're making a lot of money, so I should make a lot of money. Bum, bum, ba-dum, wow. It's like they probably are the ones that put this whole thing together. If they're asking you to come on to tell your side of the story, feel grateful. Come on, take whatever paycheck they give you. Maybe negotiate up a little bit. I'm sure there was room. And then if they cut out things you said or take things out of context of what you say, then you can come on and say, this is really what I said. But now you can't say any of that. Because
and they got to know the story's going to be told whether they're on or not. So what does it matter? They know they're going to use old clips of them. They're going to use old audio clips. What's the difference? At least get a paycheck, get in front of the camera. You know, like so many comments are saying, this doc was not necessarily for us Kiss fans. It was for the general public, and the general public who don't know Ace and Peter right now. Ace and Peter had a chance to get in front of them. You got to do that. Their managers or business managers, whoever they have leading them, have to know better. Get in front of a camera when you can.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it works. And, you know, Gene always says you have to stay in front of people in order to keep yourself relevant or as relevant as you possibly can. And that's the absolute truth. You know, if we miss 1 week on this show, somebody's messaging me going, has the show stopped? What is going? What is happening? You know, and, you know, so I can't even imagine Peter Criss's fans. They're like, you know, he did his last show. And then what is he doing now? Is he a grandpa and that's it? And he's not doing anything or, you know, and then one time during the pandemic, he does some karaoke. And what happened? We did the karaoke. Everybody went, oh, how much fun. It's silly, but it's still fun. And it's cool to see that Peter is having some fun. And he could have done one of those every week. And, you know, and then went, excuse me, by the way, don't forget, I have a CD or a record or whatever. And people would have went, oh, yeah, that's right. Especially people that didn't know who he was. You know, let me ask you this. Paul Stanley, when they were going through everybody's problems, they did it all together, right? So Ace has drug and chemical problems, alcohol and chemical problems. Peter has the same problem. Gene has women addictions. Paul, I have trouble with my ear.
Yeah.
Depression.
Yeah. So he unfortunately, ever since, you know, this version of Paul Stanley has come about, when I think it feels like ever since he released his book, really, he's the victim. He's playing that card. He loves to play that card. Where's all the stuff about his psychiatrist managing the band and then fleeing and never to be heard from again? That's the stuff, you know, there's your downfall, Paul. You're insecure and you're not comfortable in your own skin, and it caused a lot of problems in the band. That's Paul's downfall, not his ear that nobody knew about. Yes, your ear maybe caused those issues, but talk about the issues that it caused, not just the original problem.
Yeah, I think if you would have talked more about, just like we got some of our listeners saying, about insecurities, that
right,
the mask
right here,
helped
right here
me, yeah, the mask helped me be somebody I wanted to be versus who I was. Then when we took the makeup off, I was scared because I'm like, oh my God, like people are going to see who I am now. And I had to get used to it too, you know. So it's, I think it's okay that, hey, I got depression, the ear thing, my upbringing, but you have to be a little more vulnerable about that made me yes. more gun shy. That's why I'm not super approachable. That's why sometimes I hide behind some of the words I say. Like, you got to be a little bit more than that.
Right. And you know, the main thing here is, it's like, I, you know, somebody posted on here, you know, our band is on for 4 hours and people are still complaining. It's like, we're not complaining. We gave the documentary A's. That's not what we're complaining. What we're doing is playing Monday Morning Quarterback. And we're saying, how would I have changed things? How would I have added things? Do you think it's a mistake that Ace and Peter weren't in it? That's all. So, you know, don't get all upset here. We're not complaining. We had a great, I loved it. If you guys go and watch, I did a live thing after the show 2 days in a row, and you could, my heart was pumping. I was like, that was so much fun. It was so cool to see them, especially when they're sitting on the couch and they're just chilling. And, it was amazing. And I wish, and I pray that there is way more footage, and in the DVD, we're going to get it all. Because you know there's going to be a DVD. There has to be a DVD. There will be. And I hope that we get all that footage where Gene and Paul are sitting on the couch, and because there's no way they weren't telling stories that were so inappropriate, or, you know, and they couldn't put it on A&E or something like that. You know, even going, there's a lot of stories that we know already, but to be fair, we don't know them all. And I guarantee there's stuff that was being said. When they were in, what did you guys think about when they were in Electric Lady?
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Thought it was great.
Yeah, and Gene's talking about how, you know, Stevie Wonder is recording down the hall. That was amazing.
It's so weird that when Gene's talking about his influences, the general public, including me, we all give him a break. It's like, oh, cool, he's talking about something that influenced him. When Paul does it, he does it in a way that we're like, oh, he's a Renaissance man now. Like, it's just, it's so weird because they both say the same thing, but I think it's the way Paul says it, right?
Yeah.
I do have to tell you, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into stuff we didn't like about the doc, but one thing that drove me crazy in the doc, and it has the part to do with one of the comments we just had, which is that one right there. Just some of the use, I really enjoyed a lot of the nostalgia imagery of the 70s and stuff like that, but I feel like they went so far overboard using this video imagery to really show every piece of dialogue. I would rather see Paul and Gene talking. Paul's talking about a radio station and they show just some random radio tower. Paul's talking about loving something and they show a heart across the screen. It was just, it was like so overkill with the video imagery. I don't know why they felt like they needed to go that route. Do it periodically to set timestamps on 70s, 80s, stuff like that. But you don't need to show every single thing. And, you know, then when we were on the roller coaster and they show a roller coaster, it's like, we don't need to see the roller coaster. We understand what he's talking about. The words is the imagery we're describing. We don't need to see a roller coaster. Who the hell is directing this?
Yeah. What did you guys think about Bruce? I felt like they could have given him way more time.
My guess is, yeah. Go ahead, Jody. Go ahead.
I just thought it was cool, but it did seem like Bruce is like almost like frail. He's so old now. It's so crazy to me. Like, last time I saw him wasn't that long ago. He didn't look that nearly that old, but he sounded like an old man, dude. It was freaking me out a little bit.
I don't see that. It's really funny. I don't see that at all. I mean, he is older, but I just see an older Bruce, I think.
Well, so do I, but like his voice was sounding like an old man. Like it was kind of like crackling and shit. I don't know. It freaked me out.
Well, I'll tell you this. One of the things that I really enjoy about it and getting to see Bruce talk was when he was in Kiss, we really didn't get to see him talk.
True.
You know, so he, anything where he's talking, and I wish they would have let him tell stories, or, you know, and here's something else that I found very important, and I want to make sure that I throw out there, because I have a big part, a question that I want to bring up in a second, but you noticed that at the beginning, Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley were asked, blah, blah, blah. They declined, blah, blah, blah. There is no, we also asked Vinny Vincent.
No way.
I thought it was also interesting. Like, I think I would have voted on that whole Peter and Ace declined to blah, blah, blah come up every time after the commercials were over. Like, I think I would have voted on it needs to be there not just right? twice in 4 hours. It should be there about 10 times.
Yeah.
Right. I'm thinking there is a ton of stuff Bruce said, Tommy said, Eric Singer said, that got left on the cutting room floor, because you don't know what order these interviews were done in, and you don't know how much of the 80s or the today is going to end up in the documentary at the end. I think a lot of that shit's on the cutting room floor, because when they start putting everything together, you know, between the pictures of roller coasters and balloons going up in the air and all that kind of shit, they looked at it going, oh my God, we've got 3 hours.
Right.
Okay. So here's a question. Do you think that they were trying to shut people up by giving Tommy that opportunity to talk about why he's in the band, or how he's in the band, or you follow what I'm saying? It's just like, of course he's in the band, you know?
I thought what they did give to him was pretty cool. I mean, he got to say his piece, and he kind of got to explain his origins. I liked it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It was his opportunity to say, I'm not just some schmo that they found that wasn't a Kiss fan. Right. I'm this dude that was a huge Kiss fan, you know? Do you think that was the point of that? Sonny, what do you think?
What? I don't know if it's who are you shutting up? If everybody agrees that this was made for the general public don't give a shit. The only people you're trying to shut up is us, and you're not going to shut us up. We already know why it's there, right? Oh, yeah. So I think it's just the origin story, and I think the origin story is important. I thought Eric should have had a similar origin story, and he didn't get to really tell his story as much as Tommy got to tell his.
True.
Yeah, I loved the stuff they did with Tommy showing the tribute stuff. And I think it's important to why he's there. And listen, I love Tommy. Love his playing, love his attitude, his character, everything. You know the gripes I have with the makeup and stuff like that. But what I do think they should have covered, and you know, this is obviously a tiny point in history, but when they had the extra, you know, those other versions of the lineup, when Eric played with Ace, and when Ace played with when Tommy played with Peter, stuff like that. Because I remember I just told this story on my podcast this week. We have Chris Jericho on this week, and I was telling the story how when I met Eric Singer the first time, I was in a Kiss tribute band, and this was around 2002, 2003, and Eric was very upset with Kiss at this point. Eric was back in the band, putting the Catman makeup on for those that Japanese and Australian stuff. And then all of a sudden, Peter was back because they did the symphony, and then they did the Aerosmith tour when they needed at least three original members. And Eric was on the back burner. He basically got let go again, and he was furious. We had dinner with him a couple times, and I want to hear stuff like that. I want to hear, yeah, you got the gig again, but he was mad when they asked Peter back. And then I'm sure, you know, all those different lineups, it was chaos back then.
Yeah. I enjoyed the Tommy stuff. I liked how he talked about his first show, and he did talk about being in the costume, right, when Ace showed up.
Yes.
It was like, hey, Tommy. We knew those stories, though.
Right.
We've really talked about this a lot, and there's a whole bunch more that we could talk about. I want to go to each one of you and just give me some thoughts on your favorite parts, And I mean, and don't just say Paul and Gene sitting on the couch. You know, there's more to it than that. You know, I just want to hear your favorite parts. Anything that turns you off. Actually, let's do that. Was there anything that made you go, oh man, I wish they wouldn't have this? Sonny?
Peter was not laughing because Paul and Gene are uncomfortable.
Okay, like, I was
come on.
I was
that is fucking beyond ridiculous.
Okay,
you could see Peter just laughing at the stupidity that's happening right now.
Right, I was gonna ask about that because Paul made it seem like Peter was not laughing at Ace. He was laughing and enjoying how uncomfortable Gene and I were. It's like how now. Here's the thing. Is it possible that Paul knows something that we don't know? You know what I mean? He would have said, Peter told me he was laughing at the way, you know. Yeah. So I agree with that. Jody?
I think that Peter, there was a little piece of him that was loving watching Gene and Paul squirm, dude. I mean, why wouldn't he? They weren't getting along that well. I mean, I think he was laughing because Ace was hilarious, but I think there's a little piece of him that was fucking reveling in the fact that Gene was so pissed, you know. I think he dug it, but I don't think that was his motivation really for the laughter. But what are you asking me though, Joe?
was there anything that really like turned you off?
I mean, not really. I kind of thought we would get a little bit more. It was kind of like I already saw most of the footage. I already knew all those stories. I wanted something different and new, but you're not going to get that.
Oh, did we lose Jody?
Possibly.
We lost Jody.
You know?
Okay. Oh, we lost him for a second. Okay. Whoa, you're there. So somebody said that you really need a lot more. You need a lot more hours. And somebody,
one more thing that I didn't like. What was up with that weird, like, Kiss-like music? It was, like, sort of like Kiss. What the hell was that shit? Someone had even mentioned it in the comments a little while ago.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Who recorded it? Why can't they use the Kiss music?
Because they don't own it. Universal does.
No. Yeah, but even the re-records, Kiss has
the
licensing for that, right? That's the whole point of doing the re-records is so you can license it for things like this. Because Kiss should have complete ownership of it, of course.
I'm glad they didn't use those.
I thought they did those so Universal would have rights to some of those songs, because some of those songs are Casablanca, blah, 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 and they don't own that stuff.
Right.
But I think they still did it under the Universal moniker, so I think Universal still owns all that.
So you're saying they still don't want to pay Universal to have Kiss's music in the Kiss A&E doc? They're going to use all this stock music?
That's the part that I think that's what happened. You know, I'm not a professional. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you could have used stuff from the Kiss Cruise. You could have used acoustic sets they've done. You could, that's not owned by Universal.
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, my gripes about the whole thing was, I spoke about it before, them downplaying the new characters, how that was the downfall of the band. I didn't have that many gripes about it. I thought anytime my band can be in the spotlight on a big, big network and not in a niche market and show off to the world what this band was for not only 2 hours, but for 4 hours, two nights event. You know, it was a big event on television. So I loved anytime you can get that. Of course, I would have wanted to see one of my favorite eras of Kiss, the Alive 2 stuff. They showed nothing of all that. Alive 2, Love Gun, Rock and Roll Over. I would have loved to, again, I love Gene taking ownership of some of his downfalls around, you know, when the 79 breakup happened. I really appreciated that of him. But just in general, I want to see the four of those guys reminiscing in a room. Without that, you're never getting a real story. Even if it's edited eventually by Gene and Paul, whatever. I want to see the counter doc to this. I want to see the Ace and Peter doc. Let's see it, and then let us make an opinion on something.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
All right, so one more thing before we go. We got a few minutes left. Let's talk about, did they have the correct guest musicians talking about Kiss in the documentary. What I mean, having the dude from Nirvana, Food Fighters guy, and you know, see what I said there? Food Fighters.
Sorry about that.
Oh, we lost. Oh, look at that. Anyway, and the dude from Rage Against the Machine, he's relevant because he did the induction into the Hall of Fame, and obviously when you watch his speech, he's a huge fan. What's the other guy's name? I can't think of his name.
Grohl.
Grohl, yeah. Oh, we lost. Oh, Jody's back.
Dave Grohl. I hate that guy.
I mean, I don't mind either one of them. Have both of them on, but not repeatedly. Have one statement from each of them, and then the plethora of these musicians out there that grew up Kiss fans all across the board, or even their some of their peers, like guys from Rush or guys from Aerosmith, get some of those guys on board to do some interviews rather than just keep going back and roll. I just didn't understand it.
Yeah, it was really weird for me because, I mean, in the Rush documentary, Kiss is in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with Joey. I don't know. I think it would have been cool to have, you know, Geddy Lee or Ozzy or somebody say something about Kiss. Yeah, that'd be cool, whatever. Grohl and Morello, they work. I think where A&E missed and possibly where the directors missed is if you want to connect it to the 2000s and the 2010s, you got to have people that are relevant there too, right? So, and maybe it's out of the rock realm. Maybe it is Justin Timberlake. Maybe it is somebody who absolutely loves Kiss. Maybe it's Lady Gaga, right? That loves Kiss, that isn't in the rock world, and they're talking to their generation that this is why Kiss is still relevant to me and it should be to you. Because whether we love Morello, hate Morello, and love Grohl or hate Grohl, I'm basically on the hate side of both those guys because I don't like the music. They represent the 90s. They don't represent the last 30 years.
Right.
Completely.
Yeah, again, I don't mind the years and representing the years and stuff like that. I just feel like, why do you keep going back to the same guys? You know these guys love Kiss. You know their opinion. They're fans. You got their comments. Don't go back to them repeatedly. It's showing that you didn't get enough guests. That's you're highlighting a fault of the doc.
I guess, yeah. You're all right, Jody.
This is pissing me off.
You're all right. You're all right. We're coming to the end anyway. I
mean,
they
could have got Hollywood Pooney on the dock. Yeah. I mean, did they call you?
They called me before they called Vinny.
They called me, but they didn't have enough money. I was like, just like Ace and Peter, fuck that. I need more money.
They did call me. And all the stuff I sent them, they didn't use. So, what can I do? All right. So you guys, obviously we could talk about this for 10 more hours. I don't know if we could do that, but we could talk about this more. So listen, next week we're going to get together again. And I think it's time that we get back. Let's start rolling into our old schedule. Let's do a Sonny Pooney trivia where he tries to drive us all crazy. Joey, are you touring?
Yeah, I'll be out with Eric. We are in Texas? And Oklahoma.
Next week?
Let me see the date. No, next week, the week after. I'll be there the 23rd and 24th, I believe. Come out. Just check online, ericmartin.com. You'll see some of the tour dates. But I know that's the first stuff coming up. We'll be in Texas and Oklahoma. Come out playing Trickster songs, Mr. Big songs. Again, if you can, right after this, 8 p.m., tune in to the David Z Foundation live stream. Crazy guests. Like I said, the Bruce Kulick Band will be debuting a brand new video with Eric Singer singing lead vocals on the Bryan Adams song, Heaven. It's phenomenal. You guys are going to lose your mind.
That's awesome. So you'll be here next week?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Sonny, you're good. Jody, you're good.
Yeah.
All right,
we'll finally get to use the Sonny thing that I made like 2 months ago.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll use that. It'll be a lot of fun. Jody, do you have anything to add?
Nope. I just wanted to let Robert Dunning know that I did like the Dynasty stuff. I thought it was cool.
Absolutely. Sonny?
No, all in all, great documentary. You know, just like you guys said, proud to have one of my favorite bands get 3 hours, 4 hours on TV. I think that's great.
awesome. Joey?
Yes, same thing. Love the doc. I mean, I know we're bad-mouthing parts of it and so on and so forth. We're saying how we can make it better. But you guys all know we're KISS fans. I want content that I can criticize and love. I don't want nothing. I want something that I can watch or listen to and either love or hate. Just give me content.
Amen. Absolutely. I agree 100%. You know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts and we love KISS podcasts. And you're going to hear all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Peace.
Goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
KISS!
It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growingUpRock.com.
That's growingUpRock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.